Hello again, you're listening to This Week with Colm O'Mungoyne and Richard Crowley. A muzzling of the Dáil, a silencing of the press, a constitutional crisis. Just some of the terms used to describe what's been happening this week in relation to the attempts by independent TD Catherine Murphy to raise questions about businessman Dennis O'Brien's dealings with the state-owned bank IBRC. Ms. Murphy's comments can still be read and her speech viewed in a few media outlets, but most, including RTE, interpret her comments as being covered by an earlier High Court injunction granted by Mr. Justice Binchy, preventing RTE and others from broadcasting details in relation to Mr. O'Brien, obtained by RTE's business editor David Murphy. RTE and the Irish Times and others will go to the courts after the bank holiday to ascertain whether Catherine Murphy's comments are in fact covered by the injunction, but in the meantime, confusion and caution reign. We'll hear from Catherine Murphy herself shortly and from Labour Party Senator John Whelan. First, let's hear from Fianna Fáil leader Micheál Martin and from Dennis O'Brien, his spokesperson, James Morrissey. In a debate recorded shortly before coming on air, I began by asking Micheál Martin whether he felt this really was a constitutional crisis.
It is. I think we are in a very dangerous territory where the alleged privacy rights of the powerful, if you like, are coming into conflict with the fundamental constitutional right of parliamentarians to articulate matters of undoubted public interest in Parliament and to have those concerns aired and reported on by the national media. I think last Thursday, as I watched the news, both on various TV channels, it was something I had never experienced before, where essentially the media were silenced because of the litigation and because of the actions taken, both in the High Court and by legal advice, to the effect that the national stations couldn't cover what Catherine Murphy said in the Dáil. And I think it's an extraordinary state of affairs. The Dáil should be recalled to debate this because it goes to the very fundamental heart and cornerstone of our democracy.
James Morrissey, this has been seen by some as an attempt by Dennis O'Brien to silence the Oireachtas, to muzzle the press by preventing it from reporting Catherine Murphy's statement.
Well, I agree with Micheál Martin that I think it is a constitutional crisis because the courts and the Oireachtas need to respect each other. I don't ever recall Micheál Martin bringing forward a privacy bill or anything that would help in resolving this problem. And I have a greater difficulty with Micheál Martin because I recall going back to December of last year when you, Micheál Martin, stood up in the Dáil and you said, it is wrong and out of order for Deputy Mary Lou MacDonald to name names in the context in which she did. In particular, the individuals concerned need to know how they can get redress or, in essence, get their names cleared on the record and their reputations cleared as well. Now, I'd ask you a question. Where is the difference? Is it because some of them were your party colleagues, cabinet colleagues? So Dennis O'Brien is different, is he?
No. The fundamental difference is that the media reported on all of that and carried everything that was said by Mary Lou MacDonald verbatim on the national airwaves and in the newspapers. And I or nobody in my party ever attempted to stop the media from so doing and from exercising their constitutional right. And your problem, Mr. Morrissey, is you're attacking people too much. Your attitude and your response to this is to attack the person who stands up for democracy. So you attack Catherine Murphy. You call her a liar. You call her a thief. And you denigrate Parliament by calling it a talking shop, as you did last week. Now, the first thing you should do, and the public want, is for you to apologise to Deputy Murphy for saying she's peddling lies, for saying she got information illegally. It is extraordinary charges that you are making, attempting to bully and intimidate a parliamentarian who is held in widest respect across the parliamentary divide. And we know that Deputy Murphy has form on this in the sense that through dogged pursuit of parliamentary questions and utilisation of freedom of information, she unearthed significant issues and concerns that public servants had, civil servants in the Department of Finance had in relation to the sale of Sitesurf, for example, and other major transactions concerning IBRC.
But Micheál Martin, and the biggest problem...
Can we just hold it there? James Morrissey, can I just ask you to deal with a couple of points raised by Micheál Martin? You said that the document or information was stolen. As far as I remember, you didn't say that Catherine Murphy stole it. But who or from where was it stolen?
It was removed from IBRC.
Removed, the original document, not copied, but removed.
There were documents stolen, and they were amended and altered, and they were presented to Catherine Murphy. And what is most fascinating about Micheál Martin's comments here, he seems to accept in totality everything that Catherine Murphy has said. So has he seen the documentation, or is he just relying on her on her version of events? You see, I think the
Let him answer that.
But I think
Let him answer that, because if we move on, that point could be lost. Micheál Martin, have you seen the documentation?
I have not seen the documentation that Catherine Murphy has seen, but I accept...
How do you know that it's correct in its entirety?
Mr. Morrissey made an assertion, and he was wrong in making that assertion. No, he hasn't apologised to Deputy Murphy, and he should, because what I accept is, and will defend to the bitter end, is the right of Deputy Catherine Murphy to say what she said in the Dáil. She was speaking on legislation that she was introducing into the House.
All right, let's just have limited... No, Micheál, sorry, yeah, I have to cut you off there. All right, but look, we want to get to the nub of this. James Morrissey, how much of what Catherine Murphy said in the Dáil was correct and how much of it was incorrect? Did she say something that was true?
She said most of what she said was untrue.
But not all of it.
Not all of it.
And some what she said that was true, you would have no difficulty with her putting that on the record.
Whatever she said is true, she can say whatever she likes.
And you'd have no problem
with
that.
The most important thing, though, here, and it comes back to, you see, Micheál Martin uses the word powerful. I would have thought that all citizens rank equally, but he obviously doesn't think so. I think the key issue here is when information is leaked, and it's when it's interfered with, and when fundamental facts are changed.
That's the second time you said that. What do you mean by altered, changed? Who changed it and in what way?
I don't know who changed it, but Catherine Murphy has presented as facts figures that are not correct, and she has made statements that are fundamentally wrong.
And are you saying that a document that in its original form was correct in every way, but that it was altered in such a way as to make it untrue?
I don't know what documents she has, but I am satisfied.
How can you say they were altered then?
I'm telling you that I'm satisfied that documents that she presents as being facts contain erroneous figures and numbers that simply...
No. You said that they were altered. How do you know they were altered if you don't know what documents she has?
Well, I'm aware of the original documentation. I've seen what she has misrepresented.
Well, the bottom line then is deal with it.
Why not deal with it? Isn't that a good point? If there is a difficulty here that some of the information is correct and some is not, why not come out and issue a full statement clarifying what's true and what's not, James Morrissey?
You see, I think what Micheál Martin is doing here is
Could you answer my question rather than address Micheál Martin? If there is a difficulty here and some information is correct and some is incorrect, why wouldn't your side come out and clarify it by putting the truth into the public domain?
For one particular reason that Micheál Martin chooses to ignore, and that is the rights of a citizen in this country to privacy in his financial matters.
But the bottom line here is this is about the IBRC, which was a bank that was bailed out by the taxpayer. 100% fundamental matter of public interest, which by any definition trumps any other issue. The public have a right to know if there are issues pertaining to how that bank operated in terms of its corporate governance, in terms of the large transactions that the civil servants in the Department of Finance had concerns about, and which has led to an inquiry established by the government, in my view, a very poor type of inquiry. And that's the context in which Catherine Murphy spoke last Thursday. And she's acting in good faith. That's the point. Morrissey should attempt to undermine her integrity.
James Morrissey.
Because people across the House, and this is an important point, will defend the right of Catherine Murphy to act in good faith.
Even if she gets it wrong, inadvertently.
But of course, the whole nature of parliamentary democracy and parliamentary debate is the freedom to speak out. But in terms of other issues when it's happened before, if it's dealt with efficiently, properly in the public domain, the Oireachtas polices the privilege it has under the Constitution. It has that basic
James
right.
Morrissey,
there is no issue to resolve here,
all
by
right,
the way.
James, it's very clear. All right, James Morrissey, would you take the point about this being in the public interest? It's a point made by Michael McDougall, the former tarnished Attorney General and Senior Counsel and former Justice Minister, writing in yesterday's Irish Times, who says, "I venture to suggest that the points made by Deputy Murphy in her speech appear to be points of very significant public interest."
Then there's one key question, and that is, why has RTE failed to appeal this whole matter?
But that's
we're going to the courts next week. RTE is going to the courts, as of the Irish Times and the Sunday Business Post.
I think for clarification, Richard, RTE had 7 days in which to appeal the court order. It did not do so.
We don't have the court order yet. We don't know yet. The document has been redacted and we have yet to get the full court order. And it's on the basis of having seen that an application or an appeal would be lodged.
No, I think my understanding is that the station had 7 days to appeal it and has decided not to appeal it.
No, that's not true. As far as I'm aware, RTE has until next week. Well, would you go back to the point of the public interest? Why is this not in the public interest?
Because the private banking affairs of an individual who borrowed money to invest in properties and businesses employing up to 10,000 people coming out of the recession is entitled to privacy in his financial matters. Maybe Micheál Martin could tell us, because he's never brought forward a privacy bill ever in all his years in the House, could he tell us what different grades of citizens and what level of privacy should apply to various people? Does it apply to former Fianna Fáil ministers or does it apply to Dennis O'Brien? Again, Micheál Martin, you have danced around the whole Mary Lou situation, which I think is very curious.
We're not going back on the Mary Lou situation, but we're not going back on it. Let's just stay with the Dennis O'Brien situation.
The Dáil dealt with that and dealt with it adequately, and the CPP met and sanctioned.
Go back to Dennis. Would you go back to Dennis O'Brien's privacy? Why is he not entitled to privacy?
The bottom line here, this isn't about a private domestic banking issue. As I've said earlier, it's about a fundamental issue pertaining to the taxpayer of public interest, where the IBRC, a bailed-out bank, it's a state bank in essence. Rightly or wrongly, there is no question but that large transactions are by definition matters of public interest. And in terms of the citizen out in the street, here's the real heart of the matter. People out there every day turning up in courts with their mortgages and so on and being potential evictions from their houses. If the charge emerges that there's a different set of rules for those higher up the scale as opposed to the ordinary punter on the ground, then that feeds into resentment in society and very significant
all
resentment.
Right.
So there's an absolute need for transparency in relation to
all right,
these
James
issues.
Morrissey.
That's all we're saying
all right,
here.
Micheál, we're running out of time. I want James Morrissey back in on that point.
Micheál Martin, does that include all the business interests in Fianna Fáil and everybody in this country, that all their banking interests should be made public? If that's what you're saying, that's fine.
No.
And we will cooperate with that. But I think your biggest problem here is you're working on a selective basis.
No, I'm not, Mr. Morrissey. I'm working on the basis of the Irish Constitution, which actually has at its heart protecting parliamentary democracy, which is at the very core of our system,
and
of our democratic process.
And that's why we have
process.
A constitutional crisis.
No, Mr. Morrissey, we don't actually have one. I think this will be resolved because the constitutional privilege is absolutely...
But you said if you want to go, we do have a constitutional...
James Morrissey...
You said we have a constitutional
all right,
crisis.
James Morrissey, can I ask you, before we get...
You should stop the bullying, trying to intimidate people and undermine people, have the guts to apologise to Deputy Murphy for how you've treated her, and also... apologise in terms of your denigration of Parliament, which you've been about all week.
All right.
That's your approach.
James Morrissey, I want to ask you what your course of action will be next week. Let's presume that RTE and the Sunday Business Post and the Irish Times go to the High Court for clarification on this from Mr. Justice Binchy, and he says that the original interlocutory injunction does not cover, that it was intended to cover David Murphy's story for RTE. It was not the intention of the court to cover matters raised by Deputy Catherine Murphy in the Dáil. What then will you do?
The answer is, I don't know. That's something that's been considered by the legal team at the moment. But
options are open to you?
Well, a very important part of this is, as I've mentioned, RTE decided not to appeal the decision. And it was given 7 days.
James, I've told you that no decision has been made on that because the court order has not been received by RTE, and that's a decision that will be made next week. So please stop saying that RTE have not appealed this. Now go back to what you will do, what options are open to you next week if Mr. Justice Binchy says that Catherine Murphy's comments are not covered by the injunction.
I'm not going to get into a hypothetical situation on that at this point in time.
But would you consider separate court action?
That will be considered by Dennis O'Brien's legal team. I'm not a member of the legal team.
Micheál Martin.
But the fundamental point I would make, I think it's absolutely essential that you back off from this. One thing you cannot do is silence the National Parliament or silence the rights of Dáil deputies. Whether you like what they say or dislike what they say, constitutionally you cannot do that. And nobody, and I'm talking to people across the country, they're very upset and angry with what is going on. They do not like it. Fear stalks the land in terms of the journalistic landscape, by the way. Litigation's left, right and centre. It's a very unhealthy situation. There's a very unhealthy atmosphere out there in our democracy. There's a very simple way of resolving that and pulling back from the brink.
All right.
Because one battle that cannot be won in any republic like this, and I'm a Republican, the Parliament cannot be undermined
in any
shape or form in terms of the rights that it has.
James Morrissey, the Sunday Times today publishes some of the details of what Catherine Murphy said. It was still on the broadsheet.ie website last night. It's on the Oireachtas website. It's been covered by The Guardian. It's been covered by the New York Times. It's on the Channel 4 website. In terms of keeping this under wraps, it's been a spectacular failure for your side. And if anything, you've heightened the interest in it. Everybody is interested in hearing more now.
Perhaps that is the case, but I think it's also fair to say that an individual is entitled to take a course of action. And whether that course of action results in success or failure, Dennis O'Brien said at the very outset in this whole affair, that he was taking this action on a point of privacy principle in relation to the privacy of his financial affairs and
his opinion or his tactic, his approach, his strategy hasn't changed, given that there is now heightened interest in the story and that effectively the pressure is on for him to come out and make a clarifying statement to say, this is untrue and I can prove it.
Well, you see, I think the big issue here is, do you concede to pressure that's out there, or do you stand your ground and say, I am a private citizen and I'm entitled to privacy in my financial affairs?
And you seem to be suggesting that it's the latter course that he will opt for, or is opting for.
That's certainly my understanding of it.
And that won't change in the short term as far as you're concerned?
I don't believe so, because I think, it's a point of principle.
Was the effective gagging of Catherine Murphy on the Dáil on this issue an unintended, though welcome, consequence of the injunction against David Murphy on RTE?
Well, again, I think it's where there's a constitution issue. Dennis O'Brien went to court
to stop David Murphy and RTE broadcasting a story, but an unintended consequence of that has been that it's been interpreted as if affecting what Catherine Murphy said in the Dáil and the reporting of what Catherine Murphy said. That was hardly your intention or strategy at the time, was it?
Well, I think what's happened here is that
was it?
A lot of information has been peddled, and it's been peddled to a lot of different people, and we had no idea as who was going to come forward with it next. It could be anybody. I mean, clearly, Micheál Martin obviously would have loved to have had this information for a political point score. He could get into the Dáil with it, but he didn't.
What are you talking about?
My
bottom line now, my intervention this weekend is a very simple one. It's to defend the National Parliament and the right of the Dáil to exercise its constitutional rights. What I witnessed last Thursday night, I never witnessed in my life, where the national broadcaster was effectively silenced, where other television channels were silenced, and you had this pathetic spectacle of senior reporters saying, we can't talk about this, we can't air this. That never happened before in our country.
Final word to James Morrissey. It needs to stop, and we need to back off.
And Micheál Martin has been in the Dáil and has been a minister, and he has never done anything about a privacy bill, ever.
Because the bottom line is, I actually understand the balance between protecting society and having liberty and freedom of speech. And I actually would accept the points that have been made by former Deputy and former Minister Michael McDowell in relation to that very point.
James Morrissey,
it's very clear now that such a bill would be abused. James Morrissey, before you go,
one of the consequences of all of this, of course, is even greater scrutiny of Dennis O'Brien and what he has done or not done. And we have the Sunday Business Post today reporting that Mr. O'Brien contacted the government several months ago to oppose the sell-off of Aer Lingus. Can you confirm that that's a fact? And if so, who did he speak to?
I'm not aware of who he spoke with, but I know that he held very strong views that Aer Lingus should not be sold because he believes it is an iconic brand and that it is a company with a great history and that it is one of the world's leading Irish brands that has stood the test of time. And from speaking with him, I think he feels it's regrettable that the headquarters of Aer Lingus is going to end up in Hounslow.
And did it have anything to do with his own business interests?
He has no aviation interests.
No connections. None of his companies, either controlled or owned by him, have no connections with Aer Lingus as of now, and involved in transactions that might be affected in the longer term by an IAG takeover?
He was a shareholder in Aer Lingus, and as I understand it, he disposed of all of those shares in the last 12 months.
And any companies now controlled or owned by him do business with Aer Lingus, and are those transactions that might be affected in the longer term by an IAG takeover?
None whatsoever.
James Morrissey, spokesman for Dennis O'Brien and the Fianna Fáil leader Micheál Martin.